light can open your eyes. One book can open your world. Knowledge gives you power. Read and rise higher.
Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Lucky 666, The Impossible Mission, plunges readers into one of the most audacious aerial exploits of the Second World War. Bob Drury, with narrative flair and deep research, reconstructs the saga of a ragtag B-17 flying fortress, nicknamed Old 666, and the fiercely independent crew that dared to undertake a do-or-die photo reconnaissance over heavily defended Bougainville in 1943. At the heart of the story are pilot Jay Zeemer Jr. and bombardier Joseph Sarnowski, friends bonded by skill, grit, and a refusal to back down. Their mission demanded a near-impossible combination of precision, endurance, and nerve, as they flew alone into the teeth of Japanese fighter coverage to capture mapping images vital for Allied strategy. Drury blends cockpit-level intensity with the broader sweep of the Pacific War, revealing how personal courage and improvisation helped shift the balance in a brutal theater. The result is a propulsive, human-centered chronicle of ingenuity under fire. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, forging Old 666 and a renegade crew. The book opens by charting how Jay Zeemer Jr., an unconventional pilot with a reputation for restless initiative, assembled a hand-picked team of like-minded airmen. Considered too independent by some commanders, Zeemer and his crew scrounged an aging B-17E, tail number 412666, and transformed it into a uniquely lethal and resilient aircraft. Drury details how the men cannibalized parts, added extra guns, reinforced weak spots, and practiced aggressive defensive tactics until Old 666 bristled with firepower and personality. This was more than tinkering. It was a philosophy of survival, born from repeated missions in the Solomons and New Guinea, where maintenance was scarce and enemy contact was constant. Readers see how crew chemistry and trust were forged, not only in training, but in long, punishing sorties. By the time the Bougainville assignment emerged, Zeemer's crew had evolved into a tight, fast-reacting unit that believed in their aircraft, their leader, and one another. Secondly, the Pacific stakes and Bougainville reconnaissance. Drury situates the story within the brutal chessboard of the South Pacific. The Japanese bastion at Rabaul projected fighter strength across the region, shielding critical islands like Bougainville. Allied planners needed precise photographic intelligence to chart airfields, coastal approaches, and flak concentrations for future operations, including landings at Empress Augusta Bay. Photo reconnaissance over Bougainville meant flying straight and level at altitude for extended periods, the worst possible profile under enemy guns. The author explains why this specific mission mattered strategically and why resources were thin, forcing improvisation at the edge of Allied capability. He also clarifies the rivalry and cooperation among commands, the supply constraints of forward airstrips, and the tactical gap between available bombers and the escort fighters that could not range that far. In this context, a single B-17 mission could deliver intelligence that recalibrated risk for thousands of troops and ships, making the attempt both necessary and perilous. Thirdly, into the storm. The mission and aerial battle. The centerpiece of the book is the June 1943 flight itself, a long, lonely arc to Bougainville and back. Drury recreates the pre-dawn takeoff, fuel calculations, and camera checks that preceded the run. Once over target, Zeemer had to hold Old 666 steady while the cameras exposed mapping film, a discipline that exposed the bomber to waves of interceptors. The ensuing battle against Zero fighters unfolds minute by minute. Slashing attacks, head-on passes, gunnery drills executed under fire, and battle damage mounting across the airframe. Joseph Sarnowski, already wounded, crawls back to the nose to repel another attack and keep the cameras alive, a choice that would cost him his life. Zeemer, grievously injured, keeps the aircraft fighting and navigable, coordinating with his crew as they nursed failing systems and clung to altitude. The chapter captures the violent choreography of aerial combat and the stubborn refusal to abandon the mission until the film was secured and the crew could coax their battered ship home. Fourthly, valor, sacrifice, and the weight of recognition, beyond tactics and hardware, Drury renders the moral texture of courage under extreme pressure. The crew's actions on this single sortie resulted in extraordinary decorations, including medals of honor for J. Zeamer Jr. and Joseph Sarnowski, one awarded posthumously, with additional high honors for their crewmates. The book explores how valor is recognized and remembered, placing citations alongside the human costs that continued long after the shooting stopped. Survivors carried scars, both physical and psychological, while families and squadrons grappled with grief and pride. Drury avoids easy myth-making by examining the imperfect reality of wartime decision-making, the role of luck, and the thin line between heroism and catastrophe. By grounding the accolades in lived experience, he honors the fallen without romanticizing the brutality they endured, and he invites readers to consider what leadership, loyalty, and duty mean when the odds and the outcomes are unforgiving. Lastly, reporting, archives, and storytelling craft. A hallmark of the book is its blend of rigorous research and cinematic pacing. Drury mines archives, after-action reports, personal letters, and interviews to cross-check timelines and reconstruct cockpit-level detail. He frames technical aspects of aerial reconnaissance and gunnery in plain language, ensuring lay readers can follow fuel margins, camera runs, and formation tactics without sacrificing accuracy. The narrative toggles between the granular experience of Old 666 and the macro view of Pacific strategy, a structure that makes the stakes legible and the action visceral. Vivid scene setting and carefully chosen anecdotes keep momentum while endnotes and context ground the story in verifiable fact. The result is narrative nonfiction that respects both the historian's ledger and the storyteller's arc, giving readers confidence in the facts while delivering an emotionally resonant account of one mission that illuminates a wider war. In conclusion, Lucky 666. The Impossible Mission is ideal for readers of military history, aviation enthusiasts, and anyone who values true stories of leadership under extreme pressure. It also speaks to students of decision-making, resilience, and teamwork who want lessons that transfer beyond the cockpit into business, public service, and personal adversity. The book benefits your life by demonstrating how preparation, adaptability, and mutual trust can multiply effectiveness when resources are limited and risks are high. You witness a team define its own standards, innovate with what is at hand, and hold fast to purpose when every incentive says, turn back. Choose this book over more generalized World War II titles because it fuses strategic clarity with an unforgettable, well-documented mission, delivers richly reported character portraits, and captures aerial combat with rare immediacy. It is both a gripping read and a durable case study in courage and craft. If you would like to support Bob Drury, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.
1 minute can open your eyes. One book can open your world. Knowledge gives you power, read and rise higher.